Welcome back to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day
166.
I could have been sat there all night waiting for it. Thanks for letting me know, Jonathan. That was a close thing, Mike. A dangerously close thing. This machine, it needs resting for a while. The actual app that I'm using is telling me that I'm not live. It's a good job that you guys are there to tell me otherwise. Never trust the tech.
It's very confusing for us, Paul, as well.
Right, hello, Debbie. Hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Wingman. Wingman Jonathan. Hello, Paul. How are you doing down there? We have alarming news. Don't we, Mike?
Do we?
We do. Considering that we're about 7 or 8 miles from Jonathan.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what, Jonathan? We're out of lockdown.
On Wednesday.
Oh. Unless something else happens. They said we weren't getting a review. They said they'd ask the government if we could stay in lockdown. And now Trafford, little island of tranquility, you're not in lockdown anymore. You can't go anywhere because everywhere around you is in lockdown. But hey! It's like passport to Pimlico. You can go to the neighbours, but don't go any further. Not that I'd probably go to the neighbours on a good day. Anyway, that's where we're at. But Jonathan, still in lockdown. Right, who else have I got in here? Hello, Simon. That kind of starts very confusing at 4 a.m. It's confusing for us as well. Do you know, I was actually ready as well, with everything all lined up, and then all of a sudden, it just started beach balling. But to be honest, so far, it's been that kind of day. Not been a happy bunny today. One thing after another.
Trafford has been released from tighter coronavirus restrictions, it has been confirmed. But the announcement has sparked a political row. Council leader Andrew Weston insisted he did not agree with the decision, and he claimed the ruling made a mockery of local decision making, as two Trafford MPs, Kate Green and Mike Kane, were opposed to sanctions being lifted. But Tory MP Sir Graham Brady, who is in favour of lifting restrictions, says the council failed to change his mind. The council was asked to seek consensus with local MPs and group leaders on Tuesday afternoon. I was told Trafford wanted to seek a 1 week extension.
Yeah, that's what I heard about 3 days ago. And I thought it was up to the council. But I mean, Graham Brady's a Tory. He's more than a Tory. He's now Sir Graham Brady. And he's the chairman of the 1922 committee, which is some old fossils that run the... It's a good description, isn't it? Old fossils that run the Conservative Party. They want everybody back at work. They don't care anymore. Not that they cared much in the first place. But, you know, it's like natural wastage if people drop. But they're forgetting the impact on lives and families. But then when do they ever think about things like that? Plus the fact, like I've said, everywhere around you is in lockdown. So where are you supposed to go? Oh, it's ludicrous. It's not one thing, it's another. Anyway, we're kind of out of lockdown, but not totally, and we'll probably be back in next week, but we're not out till Wednesday anyway. So that's where we're up to. How's that treating everybody else? Jonathan, still no chance. You are 4 times higher. Not going down, but at least not going up. That's quite surprising given the number of raves that have happened. I don't know where this is going, honestly, because, you know, we're into September next week. Do you remember February? Last time we went out. By the time you get to September, they start banging on about flu. And they're already saying, I mean, I've given up with the papers and the press and the TV. I can't take it anymore. Everybody's got an agenda and everybody is pushing their agenda in isolation from what everybody else is saying. So the government want people back at work. I'm assuming that's to keep the transport systems and support services like, you know, sandwiches and coffee bars open. But some people will get ill and some people will die. And apparently that's OK now. It wasn't OK for a couple of months back, but it's OK now. I can't be doing with it. So some are coming out and saying the infection rate's higher than it's been since June. The next story says the death rate's lower than it's been since July. What's true? Because there's that many different stories coming out now. You know, no one's got the time, the consumers of this news don't have the time to fact check each an individual item. So I'm just not bothering anymore. I don't believe anything anybody says. I'm just going to do what I think's right. You've got flu shots available already. We probably have here if you want them. But what usually happens is, because ours are provided via the NHS to certain groups, so if you fall within a certain category, a vulnerable category, then it's totally free. So all you need to do is get to your doctor or a chemist with somebody on the premises who can actually give you the flu jab. And you get that totally free. So there's usually a huge campaign. Hello, Anthony. Letting you know that it's now available and to go to either your GP or wherever. We don't usually get that till September. But it's being talked about now, obviously, because as the flu rate goes up, the COVID rate will go up, etc., etc. But on the one hand, these stories are saying, like, go out, go to work, use public transport. Then in the next breath, it's like, oh, put the children in masks. It's just one thing laughing at another to the point no one knows what on earth is going on. The next story will be, have you forgotten we're in the middle of a global pandemic? I am totally confused. You know what, at the beginning when they were saying people are confused, I thought, I'm not confused. It's dangerous out there. Don't go out. That was simple. This is now ridiculous. You had a little something to share, didn't you?
Did I?
Yes. What work think is a good idea?
No, to go back.
Yes. We don't think that's a good idea. But work do, don't they,
Mike? Well, that was on the cards anyway.
Yes, I know, but all of the nuances of it.
Yeah.
Colour-coded. Colour-coded comeback.
Our building apparently is being opened on the 5th of October, the ground floor. But the first floor, they want to go back earlier because there is a business need, apparently, for them to go back earlier. Or they feel they have a business need. So the 5th of October, it's going to start with the managers. Lead by example, that's what I say. I knew there was a reason I wasn't a manager.
Isn't that a fancy word for idiot?
Yeah. It's going to be running at like 30% capacity. You've got to book your desk. So there's this booking system that you can access online and you can book your desk.
Can I point out, if everybody had their own desk, it would be far more sanitary.
It
instead
would.
Of this hot desking malarkey.
It would.
Which was never a good idea, but now is potentially... Can you imagine thinking somebody who's sat here and who's touched that pen pot?
Yeah, well, it's going to be deep cleansed every... It's going to be deep cleansed at 6 o'clock every day. So the building's got to be vacated by 6 o'clock. If you've got a late call, then basically you either go home early or don't come in that day.
Which was my plan all along.
Not that I particularly want to be on a call at 6 o'clock. But anyway. What else was there? We're going to be divided into two groups. The red group and the blue group. And the red group...
How sounding like that film, Private Benjamin. Do you remember that?
Come on, you Reds. Come on, you Reds. Come on, you. I want
to
be in
30% capacity, but you're in two halves, which is 50%.
Yeah.
Well, half of you can't go in if the building's at 30% capacity.
No.
Just say, will you fall on your sword and offer to stay at home?
So the Reds go in 1 week, then the Blues go in the next week, then the Reds go in the week after, and the Blues go in the week after. And the senior managers think that although, you know, everyone's doing all right using Teams and stuff, you know, virtual meetings, etc., etc., there's nothing like having face-to-face meetings and collaborating face-to-face. But having said that, you're not really allowed to move to another part of the building. You've got to pretty much stay in your allocated area and probably in your allocated seat. So God knows what would happen if you need to go and talk to somebody from another team round the corner. You'd probably have to do it by Teams, Which means you might as well have stayed at home in the first place.
You go into work and then you have a Zoom call with the person in the next room.
And there's probably only going to be one toilet available and the showers are going to be out of action. Which people do use because people go running at lunchtime and, you know, people cycle to work. So those showers are used. And we have a lot of smelly people around. Maybe that's why there's a 2 metre rule.
Oh, it is utterly ridiculous. There are no words, there aren't. It just annoys me. As I said to Mike, the first week of lockdown, we upgraded our internet. What do we go from? Is it 300 to a terabyte? 300 to 1,000, I think. So we increased the speed 3 times. We've had no issues where Mike has not been able to do his job. In fact, he's better placed here because if the internet goes down, there's a backup. But at work, there isn't. So he's way better placed here. The equipment is better here. We have rejigged our entire house so Mike has his own office space, you know, which is better than at work. As Anthony pointed out, thought they'd done away with this hot desking. Oh, no, they're still doing that, which was stupid when it was brought in. Now it's criminally stupid. But we've not complained once. It's not been like Mike getting on the phone and saying, can you send me another monitor and can you do this and can you do that? We just literally just got on with it. You know, if something's been needed, like the other day, you needed something.
I think if you want a second monitor, you can order one.
I'm sure you can, but well, you know, we haven't got the room for any more monitors. That's You're already monitored
That's
all.
Why I haven't bothered.
No, but things like headsets do break and dongles are needed. And you've not bothered them for anything. You've just got on with it.
No, but I could, but then I'd have to go into work and pick it up, so.
I know, but the point is you haven't. Yeah. So when they start bothering you about going back, where they want you to waste an hour getting there and an hour getting back, and then when you're there, you've got to clean your own space. Where's that on your contract of employment? Cleaner. And you're going to sit in a room for 7 hours a day training people online who are at home.
Exactly.
What's the point?
Exactly, that's what I say.
So we'll see how that goes. But my only hope is, which is shocking, I know, but just logic, we've turned that much of the house over to doing work that you'd struggle if you needed to self-isolate. You know, we know people who've had to self-isolate and they have to lock themselves in a bedroom.
Yeah, my brother.
Yeah, he self-isolated for a fortnight, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, because there's other members of the family there. We'd struggle with that. Because there aren't like 9 bedrooms. There's 9 offices, but they don't have a bed in them.
I'd have to sleep on the sofa in the conservatory.
That's not the point.
Lola would enjoy
it. It's not convenient, so it's not happening. We'll just have to see how it goes. But as I say, my best hope is by October, there's an outbreak of flu or something. You know, nothing catastrophic, but wouldn't be a good idea to get it. And in relation to these people who are like, young people don't get it, there was this long piece about a girl, American, I believe. She was something on a track team. I have no idea what. Running, something to do with running. But she was only young, so somewhere between 16 and 19. Fit as a flea, obviously, because she's a runner and she's like a state champion. And she caught COVID and she now can't walk across the room. And this is over 2 months ago. She is still in hospital. She is still getting oxygen. Her legs aren't working. And every time she stands up and tries to walk, after, you know, a room, across the room, she's done. She's absolutely done. Which is absolutely shocking. It's not just old people. And I can't help feeling that the government are like, oh, well, it'll be old people. It's not a problem. It's the attitude that's appalling. You have no idea how it would affect you. But flu, you tend to get over. But how would you know if it was flu or COVID? And then you'd have to go out and get a test. Why don't we all just write off 2020 and wait for 2021?
Oh, there's going to be temperature checking and all that.
There's another thing. That's quite invasive. I mean, for a start, not that I've
Well, I might, if I had to go in, I'd leg it around the block and then I'd be about 20 degrees hotter.
I'm assuming the devices they use are accurate in terms of, like, being penetrative. Penetrative. I mean, you know what I mean? Where it's not just because you've been running, it's your core temperature it checks, but I don't know.
I guess so.
But, you know, there could be people, I know this might sound like a stretch, but you're on your way into work and somebody points what looks like a gun at you to take your temperature, I think it'd make you quite nervy. There are people that are just, you know, they don't like that kind of thing. Do you remember when we went to Granada Studios tours?
Yeah.
Granada Studios is a local TV company, and they were responsible for some of the best series. They filmed First Among Equals there. They did Sherlock Holmes. So we were touring the sets that they have. So we'd gone through Coronation Street and we'd turned up at Baker Street. And at the end of Baker Street, it was a programme that they'd done. I cannot remember the title of it, but there was a checkpoint, Checkpoint Charlie. And you got on this bus. And once you were on this bus, the Gestapo got on. So it was like actors all done up in Gestapo. And they were like coming along and they were like saying things to you, like, why are you smiling? It was so intimidating, even though you knew it was an act. And some people got really quite upset and nervy with it. And it, to me, it's the same thing. You come to go into work and they shoot you with a thermometer. Why don't you just leave people be? People have kept your business going with their own electric and equipment for the last 6 months. Leave them be. But no, it's an all go back to work thing because Boris says so. This is Boris who managed to catch it by shaking hands with people because he didn't believe it was a thing. Boris. God. Right, let's have a look. You need a PhD to figure it all out. You're not kidding. What about going to the bathroom? I would not be comfortable. I mean, even in the pubs and restaurants, the bathroom facilities are not open. So going back to work, and you're saying there'd be like only one cubicle open.
Well, I'm guessing so.
Crying out loud. It's dangerous anyway.
Well, you couldn't have social distancing in the toilet, could you?
No.
Certainly not the urinals.
No. It's ludicrous.
Unless you had one and three and left two empty.
Well, you do like they've done at church, which is put like no entry tape across the pews. Yeah. Looks fabulous. Can you imagine having a wedding? It would look amazing. Everybody else has flowers. You've got do not cross this line tape. So Simon says they've got the 2 metre rule for the office. And then if there's only one toilet, we should have a 2 litre rule. I'm assuming you mean 2 metre rule, but then maybe not. I just think it's, why risk it? What's the benefit? Because for your company, they're in the middle of nowhere, they're in a field. So it's not like you're doing much to support the local environment, is it? All the shops and stuff, because they're all on site. The site is so big, there's a bus to get round it. So everything is on site. You know, and I'm sure one more, what was it you had? It wasn't Pret, was it?
Costa.
Yeah, one more Costa lost is no great big deal, I wouldn't have thought. So Kim says...
Well, that's the other thing. There's going to be food, but it's going to be like pre-packaged. And you'll be able to buy it on with an app and then collect it. Or you can bring your own food and put it in the communal fridge. But then you're going to have to stand 2 metres away from somebody whilst they're getting their food out of the fridge.
But your food wasn't 2 metres from their food.
No.
And this pre-packed food, is this the one that's from all these companies who are now in lockdown?
Probably.
Because they've got local COVID outbreaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are no words for stupidity like this. Why waste bandwidth in a company? You know, we'll just randomly pick the 4th of October. Why? Why not just wait and see? Because by then you could all be in lockdown again. Anyway, plus the fact you're in lockdown at the minute, at least till next Wednesday. So you can't go anywhere. I've decided. So Kim says, my mother has a friend who was very fit and can't walk now, and it's been months. There is what they're calling it here. Don't know if they're doing this in the States, but they're calling it the COVID long tail. And people who supposedly recovered got the all clear. I mean, they were obviously feeling better than they were when they actually had it, but they have never returned to where they were before, which is actually terrifying. You think, you know, you've tested COVID negative, but the long tail symptoms are there, and you wonder, some of these are 4 and 5 months ago, when are they going to go, if ever? What if they don't? I mean, you know what's going to happen. We're going to find out all kinds of things about this 2 years from now that they wouldn't dare tell us at the moment. Anthony is spot on there. Temperature checking won't pick up people who are infected with no symptoms. You are quite right. And the thing to me is, I don't know what variation in temperature they're looking for, but, and I have no personal experience of this whatsoever, but isn't it a case that I have heard, anecdotally, that women trying to get pregnant are taking their temperature to work out when they're at their most fertile? Ergo, their temperature is not the same every day, or even every hour. So how do they take account of that? What level of variance are we talking about? Because no one's ever actually said. And the people who are wielding these gun thermometers aren't doctors. So what does the dial say? You know, normal or get this person in isolation. What does the dial say? What's the wiggle room that they've got on it? You know, they're putting you through basically a test at the front door without actually telling you what that test is. And while most people might be like sheep meandering in and out, I'm not. So I remember saying to my dentist the very first time I actually went in and sat down and he was going to start doing things. And I said, you know, I'm not keen on dentists. And I said, it's because they'll be like tutting, muttering and umming and ahhing to yourself and you won't tell me what you are thinking. And I need to know everything. If I don't know everything, I can't make a decision. So I don't care what it is, I need to know it. And he said that that was no problem. Some people are the complete opposite. So I wanted to know, like, not just what the options were, but what did that actually involve? Whereas my friend at church that I recommended to that dentist, she said to him the complete opposite. It, you know, I will bow to whatever you think is the right thing to do. Don't tell me, I don't want to know. So I'd be like, if it was, we'll need a root canal on that. I wanted all the details. What might happen? What was the worst case scenario? The best case scenario? What should I look out for? She didn't want to know at all. So everybody's different. But they're not actually sort of saying before you reach the front door, this is what's going to happen and these are the figures and this is the variation. There isn't enough information for my liking, but I will admit I'm probably weird. Don't all agree at once.
Do you know what day it was yesterday?
It was Thursday, Mike.
Yeah.
Go on.
Or was it the day before? It was International Dogs Day.
Yes, I did see that, but I didn't see it until it was over.
Me neither.
But every day's dog day for Lola.
People were posting photos on Workplace of the dogs.
Oh, you see, you should have got it. Go in with one of Lola now.
It's too late now.
Drazy says, reminding you, 21-year-old in perfect health died of COVID in a few days at my son's hospital. Exactly. You cannot restrict this. I know they might be edge cases, but they're people who had lives and families, and that's just totally gone. It's the attitude of a problem. So Kim says it's not that accurate. The one they use, Mike, keep running prior to the temperature check and get the core body temperature up. I didn't think they could be that accurate, but you know, it's what wiggle room they've got on it. And a face shield, it's like being in your own bubble. The thing is with something like that, Kim, if that was the situation, you know, that you get a mask, get a face shield, get a full body suit.
Get a life.
How can you train talking into a plastic shield? Do you take the microphone in there with you or what? It is ridiculous. The sound of your voice would be different if you are cocooned in polystyrene from head to foot.
I did a little experiment this afternoon.
Somebody's gearing up to go back to work.
No, I'm trying to avoid it.
Oh, good.
I trained for 20 minutes, you wearing my mask. And I asked them if they could hear me, and they could. But it's uncomfortable wearing it for that amount of time. And my glasses were getting steamed up.
Well, Rachel's found the same, hasn't she? She's a glasses wearer, but she's had to change and get contact lenses because she just cannot cope with the glasses inside the masks that they wear. Not only are they wearing like a face mask and a shield, but they're also wearing goggles, and the goggles are over the glasses. I mean, I can only imagine how awkward it is. And she's in that for 8 hours a day.
Oh, yes, Rachel and the contact lenses. They must be very poor quality.
Well,
because she drove straight past me and the dog this morning and didn't let on. I'll tell you another thing. I was going to... Somebody posted on Facebook the other day something about wearing glasses and a mask. And this is how I found out about Rachel. Because she said, I'm now a contact lens wearer at work. So I was going to put something as a reply to this comment this morning. After having seen a fly past us.
Mm.
So I goes on Facebook and I searched for contact lenses and nothing came up. So I searched for contact lenses Rachel and I scrolled down and up came the thread. But now I've got adverts for contact lenses coming up in the feed. It's very poor, isn't it?
That's Facebook for you.
It's very poor, Facebook search.
Kim says she'd bring her own food. I would take my own.
Well, I always take my own.
You know, if it actually came to that, then I would take my own, but I certainly wouldn't put it in a fridge. It'd have to be something that didn't need refrigerating.
I must admit, I wasn't putting... You know, I was taking salad, and I wasn't... Can I have some of that?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't putting it in the fridge for a long time.
I wouldn't. You never know what people are up to. I always remember, I mean, I do hope nobody's eating. My dad's place, he was the transport manager, but he was as bad as the rest for a good gag. And they were young lads, and they were always up to mischief. And they found a frog. The company was fruit and vegetable suppliers. And they found a frog, you know, in the warehouse. And they did no more than put this live frog in somebody's sandwich box. I mean, really, boys will be boys. But I wouldn't leave my food anywhere unattended. I remember taking
yeah,
many...
Yeah, because somebody could take it by mistake.
That's happened
if you have two people with identical plastic containers.
That would be an accident. I'm talking about people who are doing mischief legitimately. It's especially at the moment, just wind people up, somebody they don't like. I remember taking water. So I took my own bottle of cold water to work with me in the morning. And it was because the water there was disgusting. So I took this thing with me. And my mum said before I left, she said, everybody will want some of that water. So I said, well, they use their own water or whatever. And she said, yeah, oh, yeah, they do now, Shep, but they'll see you with yours and that'll be that. She said, you need to stop them at that before they start it, not after. And I thought, well, she's usually right. And we put a note on the side of it in bright red. So wrote it out on like a piece of paper and then sellotaped it to the bottle. And it said, contains medication, do not drink. They never went anywhere near it. But you really shouldn't have to, honestly. But I think it's a people thing.
Last week, or was it earlier this week? No, last week, I had my half-year review. Does anyone else have reviews at work?
My eyes
with,
are rolling.
With objectives and things. I mean, I can imagine some people's reviews. You know, Kim, you've got to take 100 teeth out in the next quarter.
They are stupid.
No, I mean, reviews are supposed to be smart goals, aren't they? And the M stands for measurable. So, like I always say, do you think Ollie gets a review with, well, he probably does. He got to win 4 trophies. Or Harry Maguire, just not gonna get arrested.
Yeah, don't get arrested.
No, but some jobs just don't lend themselves to reviews, do they?
I think the reviews are kind of shoehorned into the job afterwards rather than actually having any bearing on your actual performance.
Oh, Kim had a review in the Navy. It was insane.
I can only imagine. That's probably worse than Mike's.
No, anyway, so you have a set of objectives, and the objectives are supposed... This is all to do with drink, by the way, so this is relevant. The objectives are supposed to align with the business. And one of AstraZeneca's big things this year is sustainability. So things like, for example, if you brought your own mug, you would get a discount if you went to Costa Coffee, so you'd hand them your mug and they'd pour your hot chocolate or tea or whatever. So one of the things, as I say, was sustainability. And I'm racking my brains last week thinking, what can I put about sustainability? And I thought I could put something like, I just drink water, I refill my water, I don't use a plastic bottle that gets thrown away. And I'm thinking that's the kind of thing that, you know, a 10-year-old would put.
Yes, very much is like.
And then we're on a team meeting the other day, our wider team, and somebody put up a slide of things that people had said on workplace in response to a general, what are you doing to aid the sustainability objective? And people were putting, I do more cooking instead of going out to a restaurant and spending money on fuel. I walk instead of driving. And I'm thinking, oh, mine wasn't so bad after all then. I thought I was being stupid.
Haven't been on a plane since 1984.
Yeah, there's
this
another
is
one.
Why Earth Hour... turn the lights out for an hour, you can stick that right up where the sun doesn't shine. Because the people who are shaming me because my light's on go away 3 times a year abroad on a plane. Or worse still, a boat. I believe they're even worse,
yeah,
these cruises.
I did put that, Kim. I'm not adding to the carbon footprint working from home.
Loving it. Oh, you guys are amazing.
Yeah, King I must have been for not going to a party in a shady part of Washington.
I read that.
DC.
I'm like, really? Was it like a team building thing? It's insanity. Anthony made the point that COVID may be like polio, that people who had polio as a child recovered and then became ill in adulthood with post-polio syndrome. I reckon that's what they'll probably call it, post-COVID syndrome. But Tracy makes the point as well that if you've seen the pictures of what happens to the lungs, there's permanent scarring. So if your lung capacity is reduced, you will never get back to where you were before. I totally agree that the lungs aren't something that can regenerate like the liver. That is just absolutely shocking.
Yeah, Johnny, they're bringing something like that in now. They're actually ditching what they call the 1 to 5 scores. And annual or half yearly reviews. I presume they'll still be objectives, but the idea now is that you'll love this one. Your boss will be a coach and a mentor, and you'll have regular feedback sessions with him or her.
Eyes rolling.
That's why you're not a good employee.
I'm a terrible employee. Absolutely appalling employee. Do you know what I do that makes me so bad? I move into question time with Timmy mode and actually say it as it is, which apparently is not the dumb thing. But you've missed the best one of your reviews, Mike, in relation to what Jonathan's saying, you know, regular feedback, etc. You've totally missed what I personally found to be the funniest review ever.
What?
I don't think it was a review as in you do them now. You know, with like a score and stuff. This type of review had like loads of A4 pages, and it was actually like you had to write things in. And then I think a number might have been given.
Yeah. Was it one of my reviews?
It was one of your reviews.
And was it because I didn't know a particular app was being trained on?
No, wrong company, Mike. It was way before
that.
Oh,
the Tipex.
Yes.
The Tipex.
That was the best review ever. And when called out on it, she got very upset. Why don't you tell them?
I've forgotten all the details. Basically, I had a review and my boss...
It was all agreed because they were written as you were in there.
Yeah.
So a number was given like, you know, I think on this you deserve a 6. And it was discussed, you know, and you got an opportunity to say, no, I think I deserve a 9. It was discussed and then a number was put in the box. It was what happened next that was wrong.
Yeah, it was Tipex out. It was changed. I was downgraded.
After the review was over and after Mike had signed the thing, she got the Tipex out and then changed the numbers. Mike asked sort of, excuse me, what's going on here? This looks a bit dodgy. And she went mental. I'm sorry. That's legitimate. That's appalling.
Oh, I love that, Paul.
My boss once shared his objectives with me from his boss. whom he knew quite well, and it was a one-pager, and the only words, make me look good.
I like Kings as well.
Oh, crying out loud.
He was a tool.
Oh, commanding officer, though. I mean, commanding officer. Didn't like me, and all the changes I made in his clinic, like teaching dental techs to clean teeth. Some of them are so insecure. In fact, most of them are. You literally can't do business with people like this. They're too idiotic to deal with on a daily basis. Like that idiot that I decked, and I will admit, I had got to the point where I was prepared to walk out the door anyway. But my boss had gone away, and he'd left this idiot in charge of a case that I was supposed to be taking to court. Now, bear in mind, I was a baby lawyer at this stage, so you're like a junior doctor. And you should be supervised by a solicitor, not some kind of clerk somewhere he'd picked up from an insurance company. But he had left the building to go on a skiing holiday. And every time I said to this idiot, I need to see about this case, need to see about this case, he wouldn't do it. He would not. He was the one who had the information about this case, but he wouldn't share it. And as I was leaving to go to court, which was probably about, the court was probably about 8 minutes walk away. As I was leaving to go to court, and I thought, you know, I literally have no time now. It was like probably about 1:45. So I probably had maybe 5 minutes wiggle room, but I can't turn up at court at bang on 11 o'clock. You know, I've got to be there a little bit earlier in case they bumped it up the list. So I'm heading out the door and he ambles out of his office, and he was such a snake, and said, can I sort this out with you now? I'll give you 5 minutes. I thought, you can stick that. He wouldn't let me past. So we're in the middle of the corridor and he wouldn't let me past to go down the stairs. And I said, don't need your help, out the way. Wouldn't get out the way. So I decked him. And I don't think he was expecting it. He just totally on the floor. I said, you know, don't you ever get in my way again. And I went out to court and I'm like, I felt so bad, not for me. I felt bad for the person I was representing. That, you know, they'd sent somebody out who did not have all the information that they needed. And I thought, I'll face the music with him when I get back. And I remember my mum was in town shopping that morning. And she said, I'll walk to court with you. So by the time I came out the door and I told her what had gone on, she was like, oh, for crying out loud. And I said, I really don't think I'm in the wrong, you know, and I will defend myself if I need to. So we walked to court together. And as I went through the door, she was like, go ace it, you'll be fine. And I'm like, no, I am not going to be fine. It's not fair. And I'm like, she says, you'll be fine. Don't bother explaining again. You'll be fine. And okay, I came back with a win, but that wasn't the point. That's no way to run a business. And the other thing that he did while he was away on his skiing holiday, it was something to do with memos. Now, I can't be specific about exactly what it was to do with memos, but he just went memo crazy. Started writing a load of memos. Well, memos, yeah, snotograms. And he would stick one on the front of the file. So this situation, I remember what it was. I had to get a birth certificate for somebody. Not difficult. So I had to get this birth certificate and I'd rung them and I didn't get any joy. Oh, yes, we'll sort that out. So if I've rung them once at this stage, I must have rung them about 5 times. And then I thought, I'm going to have to write. Now, if I write, then they're going to get a bill. So I thought, well, there's nothing I can do about that. You know, if they choose to ignore me or not give us this thing. So in the file, it had all these calls listed. And then it had the fact I'd sent a letter. And I'd made it abundantly clear that without this birth certificate, we wouldn't be able to release the funds that were in court to this person. They'd won damages. And this file was quite big because obviously it was a finished case. So I explained to him that what I'd done, and it was like, that's fine. Then he went on holiday. Now, I don't know if he had a bad time on holiday or something, but he gets back and he puts another snotogram on this file and I gets it dumped on my desk. But I knew how he'd done it. He'd done it in a way that I felt was particularly naughty. He'd done it where he'd given his secretary the memo with what he wanted it to say. And he'd obviously put something on the dictation about it. Because instead of just leaving it as she normally would, she carried this file in and thumped it down on the desk. Now, she's a secretary. You know, like, who are you? to be walking into my office and banging this file down on it. And she had the biggest smirk on her face. And I thought, I'm not taking that. So I glanced at the memo. And what he'd done was, I said, take it in yourself, make a big performance of it, and then come back and tell me what she said. What a way to run a business. So I glanced at it and said, whatever, I've done all I can. And I picked the file up and threw it out the window. It was on the first floor as well. And she just, her jaw just dropped. I said, if he wants it, it's in the car park. She didn't know what to say or do. She headed back into him then. Thing is, when I get up to mischief like that, I've never got into any trouble because he knew he was pushing it. And sometimes he was the kind of person you really did have to push back. There was only two other guys in the building. We had about 70 staff, but there was only two other guys. So I think he felt there was far too many women. And he wanted to like push you as far as he could and then a bit more. Only you didn't bank for the one that picked it up and threw it out the window. Not exactly my finest hour. But there again, he did wander in himself after that and then was quite normal. As though, I'm not going to rub her up the wrong way because it never ends well for me. And then he left me alone. But you really shouldn't have to be like that. But this is why Mike says no. Bosses, no. Not for Elaine. But I am liking Kim's idea about the carbon footprint thing. I think that's unbeatable.
Yeah, well, as I said, I put that.
Put that down.
I've already put that in my notes.
I agree with Jonathan as well. It's all driven by HR, who are basically putting roadblocks in and things, hurdles for you to deal with, because without them, they don't have a job. And I find that absolutely ludicrous. Oh, a sustainability email for Kim. Lady Pipes. I can only imagine what this is. Do you know, we'll all be carrying a bucket round with us at this rate, which you'll need to. What? Green pea. Well, actually, Kim, that is exactly, isn't it, how the Lady Pipe thing started. But yeah, that actually doesn't look bad. That actually looks quite nice. You that would be bearable to look at, rather than the stuff outside Old Trafford. But I still wonder about the logic of that in public. Can you not just put a door on it? It actually reminds me of a local football club, Altrincham. They were non-league at the time, and the facilities were very primitive. And I'd been before, and I remember them being like, everything was very dilapidated. But this particular time, I was going down there for a United game. It was a pre-match thing, pre-season friendly. And I was already in mischief because we were sat in the main stand. And I really did object to one of the goalkeepers. I thought it was absolutely useless. And for some reason, Alex Ferguson, the manager at the time, just loved this guy. And I thought he was a complete idiot. He didn't own the goalkeeping area. And I'd been a goalkeeper for about 5 years. You have to scream at people to be understood, heard and respected. And he just didn't seem to have it. He was always flapping at the ball. So first half of this game, I'm muttering to myself and my dad's giving me the eye like, shush, Alex Ferguson sat in front of you. And I thought, yeah, but I was sat here first. So towards the end of the first half, I said, for crying out loud, he couldn't catch a cold. And Alex Ferguson looked round. So I just sort of looked back and like, hi. But I really did think he was not at his best that night, and he was never great to start with. The second half came out, he put another keeper in. So maybe he could see what I saw. But at half time, I decided, yeah, let's use the facilities. Went down there and it said, new door installed. And I thought, why are you telling us there's a new door installed? So I walked in and there was the said new door. And I'm looking at it and I thought, I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. You know, one of those moments where you're literally, this isn't happening, but it was. They had indeed installed a new door. And the problem with the old one was it was literally falling off its hinges. And I'd only been there the week before, but at least it did close. And I looked and the girl in front of me looked and we were like, we're not seeing this, are we? And she said, I think we are. She said, what am I going to do? I need to go. Now, you're wondering, what on earth could be wrong with a door on a toilet that would floor everybody that went in? People had gone in, taken one look and walked out again. It was that bad. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll stand in front of it and you go, and then you stand in front of it and I'll go. They'd only fitted a toilet door with glass in it. Not frosted glass, just glass, like a window. So as you walked in and there was the toilet door in front of you, you could see the toilet. We were just like, well, there are no words, are there? We were just literally looking at each other, and I said, well, I can take my coat off for a start, and that was what we had to do. So you had to go in pairs because one of you had to pretend to be a door. I mean, seriously. I wish this was a good, must have been about 1990, 1991, but I wish I'd have had a camera. Can you imagine you got that on a phone now? Absolutely unbelievable, but these things happen. I assumed, Kim, and I know this is semi-sexist, but given it was a ladies' toilet, I think it could possibly have been a bloke who probably thought it was like a urinal, and therefore you'd have your back to the door. I couldn't think of any other explanation. I mean, they could have been going to paint it, but then wouldn't you put wood in the door rather than glass? It was just the way we all just looked at each other. At one point, there was about five of us in there just looking at this toilet with, what are we going to do now? But like I say, some just walked out, which I'm not surprised about. The ladies' toilets at football matches are always cause for immense amusement. I went to Wembley once before the rebuild. Now, when Wembley was originally built, it was very much only men went to football, so the ladies' toilets were an afterthought to start with. But the one thing that was good about the ladies' toilets were they were incredibly long. So if you imagine going into a cubicle, you turn around, you close the door, and you literally had to walk about 3 metres, oh, the social distancing was fabulous, to the toilet. The only problem with that was none of the locks worked, and it was built on an incline. So as you closed the door, it kind of opened. And you were too far from the door to hold the door closed, if you're with me. So again, I had to take my coat off and like waft it at the door as I'm sat there to try and keep it closed. And you wonder why I don't like leaving the house. This is why. Anything that anybody gets involved with in terms of design or whatever, I do seriously wonder where their head is. But glass toilet doors. Yep, that was a classic. That one took the biscuit that week. That was an idiocy of the week that week. Oh, there's a lady's version. Oh, now this really is going to be like a lady pipe, isn't it? Let's have a look. I think that D-Zine thing as well was the one that had the Apple stores in it, wasn't it? Let's have a look. Keep my eyes closed. Oh, for crying out loud. The lappy. Okay. I'll bite. What are we supposed to be doing with that? Why wouldn't you just put a roof on it? Why is it any faster that it doesn't have a roof? Or am I totally missing something somewhere here? Why not? Oh, no. Debbie, did you scroll down that list, that story, to the very bottom? It says recommended stories. And there's a photo. It's on the left. And I'm looking at this photo. And I'm thinking, what on earth is that advertising? And apparently it is a home insemination kit. No. Let's give that one the miss. It's worse than the lady pipe. At what point in the design process should someone have said this was a bad idea? At the very start, I think, Paul, that would have been a much better idea. Probably wasn't even thought about. They just purchased a door based on the specifications and didn't ask where it was being installed. You would think though, wouldn't you, Paul, at the point of installation they'd be thinking, glass, toilet, maybe not, but apparently not. Oh, Anthony, no. hotels and the bathroom had a glass wall. You could see the person in the bathroom from the bed. I saw something similar, but I think it was, you know, these small flats, very, very, very compact in London. I mean, they still cost you like a million, but they're incredibly tiny. And they had a toilet that you could see from the dining room. And now the toilet itself looked absolutely beautiful. There was a shower unit and a basin, you know, absolutely great. It was when they pulled back and you realised it was part of the dining room, lounge area. And the person who owned this thing said, well, the thing is, you know, when you invite somebody over, you have to explain. Because the thing is, it isn't just that the person who's come over might think, well, I won't bother, you know, I'll go home. But what if somebody else wants to go? Where do you look? Designers, got a lot to answer for, you know. Let's have a look. You would want more room to move about. Clearly, it's intended for adolescents, isn't it? I mean, I just don't see why it's any faster. You know, they're saying it solves the queue problem because it doesn't have a roof. I really don't get that. That's a good point. Wouldn't want to be eating at the outside cafe when someone's using the green pea. Too right. Do you know, they don't think these things through. When you're drunk, it doesn't matter. When you're drunk, you probably wouldn't aim right anyway. Debbie, I didn't see that. I'm pondering what it is, but I'm going to have a look later, because if I have a look now, that'll be it. I'll be gone. Oh, Tracy. No. A 4-star hotel with a glass wall. It was supposed to be sexy. No. Just no. Good night, Simon. Well, we'll be heading off very shortly. I've got not only got a 9 o'clock, I've got an 8 o'clock I've got to squeeze in as well. So I need to sort that out. Has Jonathan gone already? Have we lost Jonathan already?
I think so.
I trust he's squeezing the family in between shows. He's potentially got high hopes for tonight. See you later, Debbie. Well, we may as well head off. I'm going to try and need something to drink as well. And then we'll be back at 9 o'clock. Fabulous, fabulous chat. So many laughs. I'm glad to know it's not just our stupid country. That does make me feel marginally better. And I must definitely have a look at that extra page on that D-zine. There are some things that I just can't. You know, like you think it's too stupid, I mustn't look. And then you think, no, I'm going to have to look. That. So that's what it'll be. Ah, Jonathan's back. Yay. It is indeed Two Show Friday. And we will be back with you in just over an hour. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.